This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're doing a study of the book of Acts. So turn to Acts chapter 3 or on your devices. And this morning, we're specifically talking about what does the Bible say about healing? We're going to look at a man who was miraculously healed. This man was lame. In fact, the Bible says he never walked. At the time that we see him in Acts chapter 3, he's 40 years old. So I want you to think about it. 40 years old and never walked in a day in his life. And he lived in a time in that culture where there was no safety net, that the poor back then basically had to, there was no government assistance. They had to fend on their own. So this man became a beggar. And every day he begged that someone would give him some money so he could put food on his table. In the church world today, there tends to be maybe some confusion about healing. See, we believe that when Jesus died on the cross, we're going to see it from Scripture, is that he provided salvation for the whole person. First of all, that means forgiveness of sins, and that when we die, we go to heaven, our spiritual life. And we believe that the blood of Jesus, if you're here this morning, before this service is over, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask God to forgive you your sins and become a child of God, because at the cross, the blood of Jesus provided our spiritual health. But see, we believe it's just more than that, that not only did he provide your spiritual health, but your physical and emotional health. See, God didn't just come to save part of you, he came to save all of you. He didn't come to just deliver you from sin, he came to deliver you from sickness and disease. And that we can trust God for our healing. But we don't want to just do it based upon how a denomination does it or how a certain church does it. We want to base our beliefs on what the Bible says. See, it's important. I was raised Assembly of God. I love the Assemblies of God. I'm going to die Assembly of God. But when I go to heaven, I won't be Assembly of God. Because there is no Assemblies of God, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, or whatever in heaven, right? We're all going to be one. That's why we ought to get along on earth, because we're going to spend eternity in heaven, right? We're going to be with them forever in heaven. Let's get along down here, amen? I have several pastors that I text. I told you, John Tatum and his church, we kind of race on texting on Sunday mornings. Hey, I'm praying for you. And he says, he cheated. He texted me last night. He texted me on a Saturday night. That is cheating. I go, because I wake up pretty early, so I'm usually early. But he sent me last night. Mark Weaver, he's a senior elder at One Life here in Henderson. And I text him on Sunday morning, hey, I'm praying for you and your service today. Because we're not in competition with other churches. Other churches don't compete. We complete each other. I believe that with all my heart. With all my heart. But we need to make sure we get our doctrine, our theology from the Bible, amen? So turn with me to Acts chapter 3, and let's look at this incredible miracle that took place in the book of Acts. Peter and John, who were two of the leaders now in the church, went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. Back then, Jews still today, had 9 o'clock in the morning prayer and 3 o'clock in the afternoon prayer. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth, so again, he had never walked a day in his life, was being carried in. Can you imagine the humility of that man? Every day they would carry him to the street of the temple so they could set him on the side of the street. So as people walked by, can you imagine the humiliation that man lived through? Every single day of his life, he's carried by, he can't walk on his own. He can do nothing on his own. He's carried and he's laid there. And as people walk by, he's begging for just a coin. He's begging for some help. And each day he's put aside the temple gate, one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going in the temple. Here's one thing I want you to notice. The lame man never expected to be healed. He was wanting money. Look at this. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked them for some money. So he's not looking for healing. He's looking for money. Peter and John looked at him intently. So he got Peter and John's attention. And Peter said, "Look at us." And the lame man looked at them eagerly, but what? Expecting some money. Verse 6, but Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you." Peter basically says, "I'm broke. I don't have any money that I can give you, but I'll give you what I have." Let me ask you today, what do you have? What do you have to give? Peter at this point says, I have no money. I can't give you any money. But this morning, some of you had money to help the missionary. Whatever. Here's the principle. Whatever you have, give it to those in need. God has blessed you. I say this, God will get it to you if he could get it through you. Whether that's finances or the power of God. Listen, we're never to hoard the blessings of God. We're never to hoard the power of God. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. So Peter says, I don't have, but what I have, I'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And then Peter does something that I don't know if I'd have the faith to do. Look at the faith that Peter. He says, he looked at the men and says, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Then Peter, before the man was healed, took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. I don't know about you. I would have waited to see what happened before I did that. I would wait to see if God healed the man. If I saw God heal the man, then I would have helped him up. Peter didn't do that. Think of the faith Peter had. He looked at that man and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. And then he reached down and lifted that lame man off his feet. And look what happened. When Peter acted in faith, as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Again, we don't know what disease this man had. We don't know why he was lame. We just know he was lame from birth. But when Peter picked him up, God supernaturally healed and strengthened his knees. In verse 8, the lame man jumped up and stood on his feet, and he began to walk. Can you imagine? The first time in his life, he took steps. I wonder if he wobbled. You know, little children, when they learn to, I've got a video of one of my grandson, Gabe, when his first time he took steps, he looks like a drunk man. No, he wasn't drunk because he was too young. But anyway, he looked like a drunk man, right? He's just all wobbling and finally falls down. This man's 40 years old and never walked a day in his life. He had never taken a step before. He got up and began to walk. And then he went from walking to walking, leaping, and praising God. And he went into the temple with Peter and John. I imagine when he went into the temple, we're going to see, he caused quite a disturbance. He wasn't quiet. When it says he was walking, leaping, and praising God, he was showing some emotion. Can you imagine? If you had never walked, if you had been a beggar your entire life and God supernaturally heals you, I hope you would show some emotion. And we talk about this here. We want to have a balance. There's nothing wrong with expressing emotion in your worship to God. Right? Sometimes when people get a little excited, we get a little nervous about it. But how many know when God's done something supernatural for you, you want to praise God. God will use your personality. God, it doesn't mean you have to do that. But how many know you need to worship God the way God's made you. But there's nothing wrong with showing a little emotion. I loved our worship service this morning. People were praising God. It's a good thing. Now all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen every day at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astonished, wouldn't you? Think about it. If there was a lame man underneath the carport every single Sunday when you came to church and he's begging for money and you see him every Sunday and you walk by him and the next thing you know, he's running through that front door, praise God, walking and leaping, wouldn't you be a little astonished? It would get your attention, wouldn't it? And so it says there, verse 11, they all rushed in amazement to Solomon's concave, which is kind of an open area in the temple, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. They healed him. So he's hugging them. He's crying. He's jumping. He's leaping, all this emotion. And then all suddenly, as they're doing that, Peter began to preach in the temple. Now we're going to look at verse 12. I think verse 12, again, the Bible is so balanced. Look at this. So Peter begins to preach, and here's what he says when he preaches in verse number 12. People of Israel, he said, what's so surprising with this? He goes, why are you shocked that this man was healed? And why stare at us? Why stare at Peter and John as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? Now, there's some great truth right there. Number one, I love that Peter didn't take credit for the healing. Don't you? He goes, why are you looking at us like we did something? Now again, what did Peter do? Peter said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And Peter reached down and picked that man up. Today, Peter would start Peter's healing ministry and have videos on Facebook saying, I'm the healer. I love the fact that Peter refused to take credit for the healing. He showed humility. One of the things, so how do you know someone that you see on the internet or you see, you know, all these kind of, how do you know between the real and the fake? Beware of showmen. Do you know what I'm talking about? There are ministers who do things and they kind of make it about them. They kind of make it a show. They kind of draw attention to themselves. Peter would have none of that. He goes, why are you looking at me like I had done something? And then look down at verse 16. I love this. Look what Peter says. Through faith in the name of Jesus was this man healed. Do you want to know from the real from the fake? They take credit for themselves. Caution flags are strong. If they give glory to God, that's the right thing to do. Peter goes, why do you stare at me like I did something? Because I didn't do anything. And though we just read, Peter exhibited great faith. I don't know if I would have the guts to do what Peter did, just to be honest. To reach down to a layman and pick him up on my own before he was healed. I've been a little kind of like, okay, if God heals him, but I don't know. Peter's reached out in faith and picked that man up, and that man was healed when he exhibited his faith. Does that make sense? Listen, you've got to have faith in God. But Peter says it's through faith in what? The name of Jesus. And the word, that name means in the authority of Jesus. Who healed the lame man? Jesus. Did God use Peter? Absolutely. Sometimes God will use people to bring healing to other people. It's a biblical concept. We're going to say it. He used Peter here to... Peter was the conduit of God's healing power. God's healing power flowed through Peter to the lame man, and the lame man was healed. But here's what you get to know. Peter was a conduit of the power of God, but Peter doesn't get credit. Look at here, it says, Peter, go back with me to verse 12. Peter says, let me get to it. He goes, why do you think that by our own power or godliness do you think this man was healed? Peter says, it wasn't my power that healed the man. And he said, he wasn't healed because I'm godly. Do you notice that? Peter took no credit for nothing. Peter didn't go around, oh, yeah, I'm a great man of faith, and that's why this man was healed. Or Peter didn't go around, I'm some great godly man, you know, I live a perfect life. And that. No, and this is key to that. Because, you know, sometimes when I pray for the sick, do you know what the devil does to me? Reminds me of all the things I've done wrong in my life, so I don't feel worthy for praying for someone. This takes the pressure off the people doing the praying. Because when we pray for the sick today, and you lay hands on people, it's not by your power or godliness, they'll be healed. In fact, it's your power or godliness has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. Listen, go back to verse 16. It's the name of Jesus that this man was healed. He says, look at this, and you know he was crippled from birth, but faith in Jesus' name has healed this person in front of your very eyes. And that's the entire belief that we have about healing. Jesus, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed blind people. He helped the deaf to hear. Jesus did healing. But when Jesus ascended to heaven, he still heals. Healing didn't stop when Jesus went to heaven. He uses people today to bring healing to others, but those people don't get the credit. Those people aren't the ones. Jesus is still the healer. He just healed. You're just a conduit of God's healing power flowing through you to someone else. And that's why it takes great humility to be, because the first thing that will quench the power of God in this church is pride. When we start taking credit for what God's done, God's going to leave. I'm just serious. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, but he fights against the prideful. The Bible says, it's actually a military term that the Bible uses, that when we get prideful, we start taking credit for what God done, God gets his angels, armies, and says, go fight that church because they're starting to take my credit. They're starting to say they did it rather than I did it. I love Peter. I love the balance of Scripture. It's okay when God does something in your life to show emotion. That man walked, leaped, and praised God. And I bet there are certain people looking around, what is he doing? Why doesn't he be quiet? Someone need to make him sit down and just be quiet. No, 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 no. When you're a lame man for 40 years and God enables you to walk, you ought to jump, plead, and shout as loud as you want to shout. If we can shout when our favorite ball team wins, we can shout when God heals the sick. Amen? Nothing wrong with it. And at the same time, I love the scripture that Peter refused to take any credit or any glory for the healing. Because he was healed in the name of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, not by my power or by my godliness. See, when you get the truth directly from the Bible and not what other people say, we land in the right place. That's how you land the plane on any doctrine. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's okay to be emotional in your worship. It's okay to clap. It's okay to shout. It's okay. I'm not a clapper. I have no rhythm. Y'all guys know I don't have rhythm. I'm not allowed to clap in this church. I throw the drummer off, and so it's against. Pastor Kevin cannot clap, okay? And I'm not a big shouter. That's just not me. It always embarrasses me. I cry. When I experience the presence of God, tears come down, and I can't stop. I've been embarrassed multiple times in my life with just tears. Can't stop it. One of my most embarrassing times, in a couple of weeks, we're going to, once a year, all the AG ministers in Kentucky get together for a conference, and our pastoral staff will be leaving next Sunday afternoon after service to go to it. And they asked me to take an offering for the youth camp. It's a camp that I was raised at. My brother's here today from out of town. We went to Camp Crestwood from Little Bitty. And I got up to take that offering, and I saw people that used to be like my camp counselor and stuff like that. And I just started bawling. I mean, tears just started coming, and I'm crying and crying and crying, and I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I'm looking like a blubbering idiot up here. The next day, the head of the convention came to me. Will you take the offering and give? Man, when you cry, people give. We want you to. I'm like, shut up. You know? He's like, man, cry some more. People will open their pockets when you cry. I'm doing that. I should have cried for you, Caleb. I'm sorry. I'm doing that. If I cried for the mission, y'all gave us some more money today. But that's what happens to me when I experience the presence of God. Other people might dance a little. Other people may shout. Other people might clap their hands. Other people, we just want this to be a no judgment zone. You don't have to worship God like someone else. We don't believe the people who are loud are more spiritual than the people who are quiet. And we don't believe the people who are quiet are more sanctified than the people who are loud. It's just how God made you. And so, who healed the lame man? Jesus did. Who will heal you today if you came to be prayed for? Jesus. Now, will God use people? Yeah, we're going to have people lay hands on the sick, and we believe the healing power of Jesus can flow through people to bring healing to those who are being prayed for. I want to show you a couple more scriptures, what the Bible says about healing. If you want to know what our position on healing as a church is, here it is. Number one, Jesus provided your healing at the cross. 1 Peter 2:24. Worship team, you can come down. Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Say that again. By his wounds, you are healed. Another word for that word wound means blood. We believe your healing was provided through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Your healing was provided through the blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, healing for you spiritually and physically and emotionally was provided for you. You're not healed based upon you being a good. Listen, God's not up here judging your righteousness when you're being prayed for healing. He's not saying, okay, if you did really well this week and you're a good boy or a good girl, I'll heal you today. God does not operate on a merit system. God doesn't give you gold stars. God's not like that. Your healing is not based upon who you are. Your healing is based upon what Jesus did for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number two, though, faith is essential. We read this earlier, Acts 3:16. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how he was crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. It's important today in a minute, when we pray for healing, that both parties exhibit faith. This morning, if you're on the prayer team or elder, when you're praying for someone, you ought to be like Peter. You ought to have faith that God can heal the sick. And if you're coming up this morning, you're not to have faith in yourself. You're not even to have faith in the person who's praying for you, because it's not by their power or godliness that anyone's healed. You're to have faith in the name of Jesus. See, the difference between today and when Jesus was alive, he healed people in person, right? Today, we believe healing in his name, because he's not here in person. He's here in spirit. But we believe healing comes through the name of Jesus today. Lastly, in James 5, 14 through 15, God instructs the church to pray for the sick. Now, we kind of promoted a healing service today on social media, and I got some feedback like, should you have a healing service? Well, again, what does the Bible say? James chapter 5, verse 14. Are you sick? So if you're here this morning and you're sick, what does it say for you to do? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in what? Faith will do what? Heal the sick. And who will make you well? The Lord will make you well. Should churches pray for the sick? Yes, because the Bible tells us to. Every church ought to have a healing service. Not because of what domination they're part of, because the Bible says, if you're sick, call the elders of the church. They're going to pray for you in faith and anoint you with oil, and the Jesus will make you well. We have a little anointing oil down here that when the people pray today, what does that mean? The oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they're not going to pour it over your head. I promise, ladies, you're not going to get your hair messed up. But they're going to take a little of that oil, and they're just going to put some on your forehead. No one's going to push you down. If I ever see anybody in this church pushing someone down, I promise I'll jump in. We don't have to do anything for God. God wants to knock somebody down. He's strong enough to do it all on his own. Amen? I ain't got to do that. Again, Peter never drawed attention to himself. Didn't draw attention to himself. We don't have to manufacture the power of God. We don't have to manufacture or manipulate healings. We don't have to be a showman, because God died on the cross for you. God loves you so much that he wants to heal you. Listen, prayer is not convincing God to do something he doesn't want to do. Jesus proved he wants to heal you when he died on the cross for you. He proved he loved you when he died on the cross for you. And he proves he has the power to heal you when God raised him from the dead. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, he can heal you of any and every disease you have. So look at this. Look at this verse. The Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Again, spiritual health and physical health are almost tied together in the Bible all the time. Here he says, anoint with oil, pray the prayer of faith, you'll be healed. And if you commit any sins, you'll be forgiven. It's almost like in the first verse we read, it says you'll be saved and by your wounds we are healed. Again, spiritual and physical is almost kind of always together. It's not God wants to save me or heal me. I'll say it again. It's not that God wants to save you or he wants to do both. He wants to save you today and he wants to heal you today. So here in a minute, we're going to call our elders and our prayer team forward. And they're going to come down around. If we've got a couple people, if you're physically unable to come forward, if you'll just raise your hand, they'll come pray for you at your seat. If you're not able to come down front, we've got people who will come to you, okay? Because we don't want you ever to be embarrassed. We don't want you ever not be able to do something. But before we do that, we're going to talk about spiritual health. There may be some here today who say, I'm not right with God. Maybe you never accepted Christ in your life and you know you want to be saved today. Or maybe you said a prayer when you're in vacation Bible school, or you said a prayer in children's church when you were a kid, but you know you got a bunch of junk in your life that's not right and you need to get it right today. Because Jesus died on the cross for your spiritual health and your physical health, and you don't have to make a choice of which one. Today, you can get saved and become spiritually healthy, then you could get healed and become physically healthy all in one day. Isn't that great? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning and you want to commit your life to Jesus, you want to make him the king of your life, I want you to raise your hand. We're not going to take long on this because we're going to pray for the sick. If you need spiritual health, you need to get your right life with God, raise your hand right now. Is there anybody? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? You desire to give your life to Jesus today. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. It's been one. Is there another? There's two. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Thank you so much. Proud of you. God loves you. You know that. I'm serious. Whatever you've been through in your life, you can trust him, okay? Very proud of you. Anybody else this morning? There's been three now. Anybody else this morning want to commit their life to Jesus? Anyone? Okay, you regulars know how we're going to do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask everyone to repeat that prayer. If you say these words from the heart, God will forgive your sins and make you a brand new person today. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, but I know I've sinned against you. I've done things that are wicked, and I ask, do you forgive me of all my sins? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's alive today. And I ask Jesus to become the master of my life. And I commit my whole life to Jesus. I will walk with you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen.